Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and it is the fifth Sunday after Epiphany, February 4th, 2018. We have not had a show in a few weeks, so we haven't talked about Epiphany yet. I'm hoping that your 2018 is going well. We've had a couple of replays. We did the last two episodes have been replays of the Friends on Faith on Fridays episodes, and I really love doing those, and I'm going to be doing some more in the future. I hope you enjoy them as much as I do. I just really like having someone else's voice on the podcast besides simply my own, and I like giving you different perspectives of faith and how it works in our daily life. So I hope you enjoy those. But we are doing electionary focus today. We are looking at the first two lessons assigned for this week of the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. So that is Isaiah 40 and Psalm 147. Since we haven't met in, we didn't meet in January, I haven't given you an overview of Epiphany. Epiphany is, so we have Advent leading up to Christmas, and then we have Christmas itself, and then there's the season of Christmas, which is the 12 days after Christmas, the 25th through the January 5th, and then Epiphany. Epiphany is always January 6th. It commemorates the visit of the wise men or the magi to the infant Christ, and then we have a season after Epiphany. So until Ash Wednesday, when Lent starts, is the season of Epiphany, or the season after Epiphany. And that is where we are today. I want to give you a bit of an overview of this season, and I'm going to be taking this from a source called Sundays and Seasons, and it is a resource. There's the word I'm looking for. Excuse me. It's a resource for worship planners, for preachers, and it really is helpful in looking at overarching themes of a particular season, looking at preaching themes, worship themes, even visual space themes. If you're a worship planner, if you are the person that prepares the sanctuary, it gives you ideas for that even. So it's a really wonderful resource. And so that's where I'm getting some of this information about Epiphany. As I said, January 6th commemorates the coming of the wise men to the baby Jesus. But as I said, the time after Epiphany is that time between Epiphany and Ash Wednesday. Historically, Lent, which is what Ash Wednesday, the season Ash Wednesday begins, has been a time of formation and preparation for catechumens who have made the decision to be baptized, which means that the time after Epiphany is a season for making a clear call to baptism and teaching on its layers of meaning and significance. That task is assisted here by the bookend festivals of Baptism of Our Lord and Transfiguration of Our Lord, and by the Mark and theme of spiritual conflict. Remember, we're in the Gospel of Mark in this lectionary cycle. So the pattern of divine identification and invitation to discipleship, which we see throughout the texts during the season of Epiphany, is continued. We see it throughout, as I said. The second and third Sundays after Epiphany are connected by Jesus' words as he gathers the disciples by saying, "Follow me." Those who follow Jesus will see heaven and see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, just as Jesus did at his own baptism. Those who follow Jesus will fish for people, just as Philip did when he invited Nathanael to come and see. So these early weeks during the time after Epiphany encourage those in our assemblies to go fishing for people, to have intentional conversations with others inside and outside the church about their faith, and to invite those who have not yet been baptized to come and see what these waters are all about. So Advent We are preparing for the coming of Christ, both in the retelling of his birth story, but also in knowing that he will come again one day. And then Christmas, we have these beautiful stories of people who are seeing the Messiah, witnessing the Messiah, seeing God's work through the Messiah, even though the Messiah coming as a baby might not have been what they expected. And now in Epiphany, we are all about discipleship leading up to the season of Lent, which then leads into Easter. And often Lent is, as this text said, or as this resource said, a time when many people prepare for baptism on Easter. Not every tradition does it that way, and not every person chooses to do it that way, but historically that's what the season of Lent often was. So because it is such a baptismal and discipleship focus, Sundays and Seasons goes on and says, "The waters of baptism tell the truth that we live in a world of competing values and conflicting loyalties. To follow Jesus is to turn away from other ways of living and being in the world. This is highlighted in the baptismal rite in the structure of the renunciations and the profession of faith. Many people," it says, "are uncomfortable with the language of renunciations." And have you, depending on your tradition, your denomination, these might be different. But have you ever been to a baptism where they ask the family, maybe even the congregation, "Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?" And that is from the Evangelical Lutheran Worship, which is the resource that my particular tradition uses. The Gospel of Mark is not really uncomfortable because it moves so quickly. It moves quickly in that first chapter to highlight the conflict between the Holy Spirit of God and the unclean and demonic spirits of this world. So we reflect together during this time of Epiphany how baptism relates to our everyday lives. We reflect how we follow the call to follow Jesus, and how when we take that call, when we follow that call and we follow Jesus, when we go fishing for people, that's going to put us out of step with the rest of the world. And I've said that before. That is going to, it's going to alter how we see certain ways of being in the world, certain value systems, certain ways of behaving. So some things will have to die in order for other things, or for something new, in fact, to be born. That's what we look for. That's this conflict, the spiritual conflict that they're talking about. So that gives you a brief overview of some of the themes in Epiphany. It's the season as a whole, so it's not the overview of just this week's texts, which we are going to turn to now. So we, as I said, we are doing the Old Testament texts today. We'll do the New Testament texts on the next episode. So we begin with the Old Testament text from Isaiah, and it is verses chapter 40, verses 21 through 31. And those are as follows. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows upon them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their hosts and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Again, that is the first Old Testament text assigned for this week. It is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 through 31. And there's some familiar verses in here, especially right there at the end in those last couple of verses. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Some of you may be familiar with a song called On Eagle's Wings. I know it's sung in a lot of different traditions, so maybe you sing it in your congregation. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And who are they? They who will mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint, are those who wait for the Lord. So, even youths faint, even the young will fall exhausted. But this one is saying those who wait for the Lord will not be subject to those same ways of being faint or weary. Those who wait for the Lord will have their strength renewed. They won't faint or grow weary. So as people of faith, as faith leaders, maybe we often talk to people who are struggling with doubt. And you maybe have struggled with doubt yourself. Maybe you have walked a friend through their own struggle with doubt. And this passage, though, deals with a different phenomenon of faith. And one of the commentaries that I read this week comes from Charles L. Aaron Jr., who is Associate Professor of Supervised Ministry at the Perkins School of Theology in Dallas, Texas. And he asks, how does a prophet enable people to poke around in the ashes of a long dormant faith to find a small spark still left? He says all of 2 Isaiah, and that is Isaiah 40 through 55. We just started in chapter 40 with this reading. He says all of 2 Isaiah offers hope and encouragement to questioning Judeans, who have the opportunity to return from exile. We can hear their questions, he says. Why should I go back? How do I know God is in this experience after decades of wondering if God had lost a cosmic battle or had just abandoned us? Using every rhetorical, poetic tool from the soothing tones to sarcasm, the prophet seeks to convince the Judeans that they are still the people of God. And this passage for today actually falls within a larger unit, he says, that begins at verse 12. So the longer poem contains more that we don't read. It contains, he says, a surprising detour into idolatry. So we start, the lectionary actually has a start right after that detour. So the material from verses 21 to 31 continue the same themes that began in verse 12. So here in this part of Isaiah 40, the prophet is adopting almost a pleading tone, as you can hear that pleading tone in the way there's sort of that repetitive way of talking or of writing in this passage. He invites the people to reflect back on the understandings of God that brought them together, that initially drew them into that relationship with God. The insistent tone of the questions seems perhaps designed to shake up the people, to force them to consider the questions the prophet asks. So the prophet is painting a picture. He is trying to convince the people that, yes, God has been with them while they've been in exile. God has been constant. God has been the one that makes promises, the one that keeps promises. Now, remember, the people have been in exile for a long time. They have been taken from the land that was promised to them. They have been in away from their homeland. They've been in exile. They've been in dire straits. And this was not what they expected from their relationship with God. So you can understand that when suddenly the prophet is saying, you know, we can go back. We can reestablish that relationship that we had before. People are going to understandably be skeptical. They are going to say, why? You know, why should we when this is where we ended up the last time we trusted God? Those are some deep questions, and I do not envy Isaiah, the prophet, who had to address those questions. You know, if you were Isaiah, what would you find yourself saying to these questions? I'm not sure. I do know that we do have to take a quick break, and so when we come back, we'll be talking more about this passage. We'll be moving on to the psalm. So think about that question as we go through the break. What would you say to the people who have been in exile, who are now trying to figure out this relationship with God and figure out what it means to them? So we will take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and we will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the assigned texts for today, February 4th, and the week of February 4th, the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. And we've been talking about this Isaiah text, Isaiah 40, verses 21 through 31. And the Judeans have this decision that they are trying to make, that the prophet is trying to talk them through about going back. They've been in exile, and now they're trying to figure out, what does that mean to go back, to journey back to the land that was taken from them when they were put into exile, to figure out how that changes their relationship with God, or has it changed their relationship with God? What is their relationship with God? Because, of course, that has changed as they've been in exile. So by verse 27, our commentator says, the prophet switches gears to bring home the point that this powerful creative God sitting up above the heavens cares about the Judeans. The God who exercises authority over the most powerful of people sees them. The people cannot hide from the deity. So you can imagine that they have not probably been feeling very seen by God. There's one passage, and I can't remember the specific chapter and verse off the top of my head. I do apologize for that. But by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. They were put into exile. They just sat and wept. And you can understand that. You can understand that they would be asking, why did God let this happen? Why have we been taken out of the land that was promised to us? What is going on? Why should we worship this God who has let us down? They had to have been asking variations on those questions. And now the prophet is trying to talk to them and walk them through this next phase in their journey. So this powerful, caring God will provide the energy the people need for their journey back to Jerusalem. If their experiences, the commentator says, have sapped their strength, they can draw on God's strength for renewal. If, you know, this, that's where the running and not getting weary, the mounting up on eagle's wings, etc. The commentator writes that often we see these verses that I mentioned earlier, that they're often on inspirational posters and shirts, you know, but there is that deeper meaning here, you know, running and not getting faint. It's great for a track team, right? Or something along those lines. You could wear it if you were running a marathon. But the commentator says there is that deeper purpose that when life has worn us down, when the spiritual battle seems too fearsome, when we feel as though we cannot go on, the prophet offers us spiritual energy from the powerful, creative, but engaged God. So in one sense, he says the prophet offers encouragement to go back. The scattered exiles can go back to Jerusalem from the far-flung regions of Babylon. But in reality, though, he says they do not go back. They go forward. They accept a new adventure. They cannot go back. They can only move into God's new future. And here, I think, is where we have this sort of key element of this text. We cannot go back. We can only move forward. So there are going to be times in our life when we feel like we are in exile of some kind, when we feel as if our relationship with God has faltered, when we feel as if God has abandoned us, that God does not see us, and we're wondering how we can go on, how we are supposed to continue doing what we're doing when we feel this way, when we feel as though we aren't being seen by God. And I know in my own experience, I've had these times when I've just felt like God has forgotten that I exist, right? And I've said before that often these are times when we have turned our backs on God. And, you know, it's true. When we feel as though God has forgotten we exist, it's because things have gotten awful, usually, right? Things feel overwhelming in whatever that is, whether it's tragedy, whether it is the death of a loved one, whether we are in financial difficulties, whether we're going through a divorce. There are so many times in our life when it feels like God has abandoned us, when we feel like even like God is punishing us for something. Have you ever felt like that? When you just feel abandoned by God, or God, why are you doing this to me? And we struggle with our relationship with God because our world feels so hopeless, feels so changed. And then as that situation begins to resolve itself, we have to figure out, do we go back to that relationship that we had with God before we had all of those questions? Well, no, we can't go back. We can only move forward. And as I said, you know, questions and doubt aren't the opposite of faith. In fact, they will strengthen our faith. As we move forward, we're going to have a different relationship with God. So think about those times in your life, in your relationships, when you have struggled with a loved one, when you've had differences of opinion, when things have felt hopeless, and through hard work and long conversations and figuring things out, you've come to a new understanding. Doesn't always work, but think of those times when it has, when you have gone through hell and back with a loved one of whatever capacity, platonic, you know, spousal, whatever it is, and you've come out the other side. You don't go back to the people that you were before all of that happened, because you've both changed. Your relationship has changed. You move forward into this new aspect of your relationship. And that's how we do with God as well. Whatever has gone on that has made us question our faith, that has made us question the love God has for us, we don't go back to how we were. We move forward into that new relationship that we have with God. God cares for us. Even when it feels like God has forgotten who we are, when God has turned God's back on us, when God has disappeared from our lives. No one can promise that the world's problems, that your problems are going to go away. But we can remember that God is with us, that God will give us strength when we don't have it. And it's kind of tricky because sometimes we feel like when you feel as though God has abandoned you, it can be hard to look to God for strength, right? But that's what we do. We look to God for strength, even when we feel like our relationship with God is faltering. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but that is one of the crazy paradoxes of faith, is that God is there for us no matter what. We just have to remember that God is there for us, that God will give us strength. God has not abandoned us. God is with us. God is mourning with us. God is weeping with us. God is angry with us when the world deals us these blows. And if we remember that and turn to God in those times, we will be given strength. So that is something that I'm going to be thinking about a lot this week. What does that mean? And to bring it back to what I was talking about at the very beginning in the season of Epiphany in terms of baptismal promises, that is being a child of God, right? Being brought into the family of God and having all of those promises made to us, made by our sponsors, whomever made those promises. We were brought into that relationship with God. And then we... The rest of our lives is figuring out how to navigate that relationship, how to navigate the world within that relationship. So I have a lot of thinking to do this week. I hope that something in this section has sparked something for you to think about also this week. We are going to move on now to the psalm assigned for the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. That is Psalm 147. And if I can find it here in just a moment, if you'll give me 1 second, my computer has decided to run really, really slow. So we need to find that and bear with me. It should be a sermon or a section on patience, because you have to be patient while I try to figure out what I am doing with my computer that is being extraordinarily slow. Why? Okay, I'll ask you this question. Why does the computer always choose the worst? I know it doesn't choose. Don't think I'm giving actual personalities to my computer, but why does it feel like the computer always manages to be as slow as humanly possible at the worst possible time? That's what I don't understand. All right. So Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11 and 20c, which is interesting. You don't often get C. A and B is the first and second half of a verse. 20C, that's the third portion of a verse. So Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11 and 20C are as follows. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God, for God is gracious, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our God and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the animals their food and to the young ravens when they cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the speed of a runner. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord. Again, that was Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11 and 20c. 20c was that ending, praise the Lord, which echoes the very first part of it, praise the Lord. So you get the bookends. That's why 20c is included, in case you were wondering. So what jumped out at you from this text? A few things for me. The ways that God should be praised. I mean, how good it is to sing praises to our God. And then it starts listing all of these reasons to praise God. God is gracious. God gathers the outcasts. God heals the brokenhearted. God binds up their wounds. And then verse 4, I love verse 4. God determines the number of the stars and gives to all of them their names. So this reminds me of that other verse in the psalm where God knows us even in our mother's wombs. Before we are even born, God knows us and God knows our names. God knows the number of the stars and gives to them all of their names. This is vast and infinite knowledge. And it ties back into what we were talking about with Isaiah, that God is present, that God is there for us, that God is so involved that God knows the exact number of stars in the universe. And, you know, as we've moved forward in science and technology, we know that it takes a very long time for the light of the stars to reach us, that some of these stars that we are seeing currently have actually died, but it takes so long for the light to get to us that we don't know it yet. But God does. And then it goes on to talk more about how we should praise God, or why we should praise God, because God is understanding. God lifts up the downtrodden, casts the wicked to the ground. He prepares the rain for the earth, makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to animals their food, etc., etc. And then we get this other reference to running. This is definitely a running themed week. God's delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the speed of the runner. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. And remember that it's not fear as in trembling and cowering so much as fear as in awe, which could lead to trembling and cowering, but not of the, you know, you're just so terribly afraid of God, more as in God knows the number of the stars. God knows the names of every single star. That makes me stand in awe of God. And so maybe I would tremble because, whew, why do I want some deity, some being who knows the number and names of the stars to notice me? Yes, in the last lesson I was saying, sometimes I feel like God doesn't see me, but really, if we think about it, if we really thought about God, we would sometimes think, I don't want God to notice me. Do not pay attention to me, God. I am not worthy. I'm going to show my age right now because that just made me think of Wayne's World from Saturday Night Live. Whenever they met some of their idols, they would bow down and say, we're not worthy. I'm not worthy of God's love. Thank goodness God doesn't care. Thank goodness God loves me anyway. And on that very strange Wayne's World note, but a very positive God loves me no matter what note, we are going to take our second break of the podcast. And when we come back, we will be wrapping up this first segment, or this first part of the lectionary texts for this week, Isaiah and Psalm 147. So stay tuned. You are listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11 and 20c, and we are continuing to talk about that. I do want to turn to some commentary, and this commentary comes from Shauna Hannon, who is Associate Professor of Homiletics at Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley, California, which is the seminary that I went to. Thank you very much. Just thought I'd throw that in there. I did not have Professor Hannon as a professor. She came after my time, so I do not know her personally. I have not taken a class from her, but just so you know who our commentary comes from for this. So she says that the focus of Psalm 147 is on God as both the agent of creation and the ongoing, active, very active, agent in the healing of this world. She says that this striking combination is worthy of exploration and emphasis. How amazing is it? It is that the one who is the mighty and powerful creator is also the one who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Think about that for a moment. The one who created the entire universe is also the one who stoops down to us, the lowly, and heals our broken hearts, who helps to bind up our wounds. She continues, the one who determines the number of stars and calls them each by name is also the one who builds up Jerusalem and gathers the exiles of Israel. We are back to the exiles that we talked about in Isaiah, right? This incarnational revelation that began at Christmas continues into this season of Epiphany. So she actually looks at this in relationship to the Isaiah text that we read earlier. She says another possible way to attend to the content of this psalm is by imagining the psalmist's proclamation in Psalm 147 as a response to Isaiah's questions in Isaiah 40 verse 21, that first verse that we read. And those questions are, have you not known the Lord who gathers the exiles of Israel? Have you not heard that our Lord is great and mighty in power? Has it not been told you that this one's understanding has no limit? Have you not understood that the Lord covers the sky and supplies the earth? You might consider looking at this psalm as a response to Isaiah's questions. Isn't that interesting? And I didn't put it into those words when I was reading, but I was seeing the connections between these. And so if you think about it like that, I said at the end of my discussion on Isaiah that I really needed to think about a lot of things, and thinking about them together, I think, would be a really interesting exercise. So think about those questions that Isaiah or the exiles are asking in that Isaiah text. You know, why should we go back? What does our relationship look like? And then this psalm is reminding us just exactly how amazing God is, what God has done in the universe, that God created the entire universe, right? And yet God is the same God who comes down to us in the form of this tiny helpless baby in order to create a new covenant with us, to create a new relationship with us. It reminds us that God is at once huge and almighty and awe-worthy, and also the same God who knew us in our mother's wombs, who knew us before we were even born, who called us by name, who loved us even then. And that's pretty amazing. And so if you think about this psalm in light of those questions that the exiles had, that we often have, where is God in this? Why am I feeling so far away from God? Sometimes I bet we focus on that God. Well, God is so huge. God can't possibly be close to me. Of course God is ignoring me. God has the entire universe to worry about. But God also knows the number of the stars, and God knows the name of those stars. And if God can know that, then God can know what's going on in your life. And even when you feel like the universe hates you, when you feel like God has turned God's back on you, when you feel like everything is going to hell in a handbasket, whatever that saying means, God is still there. God is still there, and that is why God is worthy of praise. So God will give us strength when we need it, but we do have to remember that God is there. I mean, we can struggle on by ourselves, thinking that God has forgotten us, thinking that God is ignoring us, thinking whatever, but God is still there. It's we who have forgotten God's promises to us. And so it's a challenge because when you're at your lowest, it's so easy to focus on the things that are going wrong. It's so easy to focus on how horrible you feel, how horrible everything feels, how you just want to curl up and make everything go away, right? And when you feel like that, God sometimes feels like God is nowhere to be found. And the world will tell you that God is nowhere to be found. They'll be like, abandon your faith. It's not doing you any good. Where is this God of whom you speak? Clearly, God's not doing you any good right now. You are having X, Y, and Z problems, and God's not there. But God is there. It's we who have forgotten that God is there. God will give us that strength. And we can't always do it on our own, right? Sometimes we need someone else, the prophet or the psalmist, to give us the words. Sometimes we need other people to pray for us. You can't do it on your own. God is there with you, but God is working through other people. So don't forget to ask other people to pray for you, to be God in your lives. And you can do that for others as well. Sometimes when I cannot pray about my own issues, I can pray for other people. And it still puts me in relationship with God, but in a slightly different way. It helps me to remember that God's children are out there, that God loves those children. And then it helps me to remember that God does love me as well. So I feel like I'm talking a little bit in circles. I'm going to wrap up this episode. I do hope that you have had a few maybe aha moments from these texts, things that make you want to think more about these texts, about how God works in our lives, about your own relationship with God. So before we wrap things up, let's pray a prayer from my own tradition, from the Evangelical Lutheran worship. Let us pray. Everlasting God, you give strength to the weak and power to the faint. Make us agents of your healing and wholeness, that your good news may be known to the ends of creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen indeed. Thank you so much for joining me as we talked about the first two texts assigned for this week of February 4th, the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. Join me again next time as we talk about the second two texts from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and from the Gospel of Mark as we move through this season of Epiphany. As always, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, any app that you use for your mobile device. And you can follow us on social media. A reminder that we are on Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, and we have a blog, www.gsmcbiblestudy.blogspot.com, which is long. But also a reminder that on our social media pages, there are daily Bible verses with visuals that go with the assigned lectionary text. So a verse from one of these texts each day. And if you'd like to follow along, you can do that on one of those four social media sites that I mentioned, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. So I would love to have you there, but I would also love to hear from you if you are someone who interacts on social media. Again, thank you so much for joining me. I hope you will join me again next time as we conclude these four assigned readings for the week. In the meantime, explore your relationship with God. Think about the questions raised in the Isaiah text and think about why the psalmist is so intent on praising God and how that looks in your own life. But also, please, please, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.